As we do have your application to come before the board today for a pardon hearing, is that correct, sir?
It is, yes.
And once again, may I get you just to state your name just for the record, and if you remember your old ABC number, which you probably don't have one, that's just for the record, but at this time, would you state your name for the record, sir?
Yes, David Barthold.
Okay, sir. And you have petitioned the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a pardon hearing today. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, you are. Thank you.
And let me just make just a couple of comments because you were not in the room at the time when we made them earlier. The Arizona Board of Executive Clemency has had an opportunity to review your application for a pardon. As you know, that based on information that I believe that has been provided to the board by you and by your attorney, that the board does not have the final say so in terms of a pardon. The board will listen to this hearing today, and then at the end of this hearing, the board will make a determination whether it will make a recommendation to the governor, and the governor will make that determination. If the board sees fit to make a recommendation to the governor, one of the board members will draft a letter that will be signed by board members who support it, and it will be sent to the governor. If not, then this would end the hearing at this particular time as it relates to your request for a pardon. So I just wanted to put that on the record so that you would understand what we're doing at this particular time. We do not at this moment see any supporters in the room supporting you at this time. We also do not observe, we do not see your attorney in the room as well, but we do acknowledge the receipt of a letter, an extensive letter from your attorney. Therefore, we do take note of that, sir. So we just want you to be aware of who we are. Therefore, we will basically at this time be talking with you, sir. I'm just going to make a few comments, and following my comments, you can correct anything that that may be incorrect that I may state. And my comments are based upon my review of the records, and sometimes the records are wrong, and sometimes I may misinterpret something that's in the records. And then after I make this statement, then we will ask you to tell the board any changes that you think should be made to my statement, and then the board will ask you questions, and following them asking you questions, then the board will give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board, and following that, the board will go into discussion publicly. You remain on the phone, and following that discussion, the board will make a decision whether to make a recommendation for a pardon for you to the governor. Do you understand,
okay,
sir? Okay, sir. Okay, as I say, I'm just going to make a few comments, and this is just going to be what one board member has gleaned in looking at your comprehensive record that we have. Based on the information that I've observed, distinguished board members, I do take note that he has two counts of taking identity of another. That's a Class 4 felony. This was his first time felony offense, and it was nonviolent, non-dangerous act. And he was sentenced to 2 years supervision probation and 6 months jail incarceration. At the request of the probation officer or one of the probation officer, the jail sentence was discharged, and a second petition granted termination of the probation early, that became effective on October the 3rd, 2016. November the 22nd, 2016, his civil rights were restored, including the right to possess a firearm. According to information that I've gleaned, his employment is that, he did spend 10 years in the U.S. Navy. After obtaining his B.S. degree in biology from California State University, and also he received his master's degree from Chaplin University, I believe also in California. After his honorable discharge from the Navy, he settled in Maricopa County, Arizona, and where he owns a home with a wife and a 15-year-old son who he has joint custody. He currently has employment, I believe, working with a pool company as a sale, as a operation manager, and he's also served as a sales manager at a merchant services. The pardon that he no longer hinders his dream of achieving greater accomplishments. That's one reason he wants the pardon. He does not want his dream to be hindered at all for the future. And between February 1st, 2012 and February 21st, 2014, an American Express business card belonging to the business owner, Tim Nolan, that's N-O-L-A-N, who was the victim from a pet club business that several retailers, including Target, according to information I gleaned, the total amount on that American Express card would have been $30,000, $30,076.02. And then he continued to use the card after he had terminated his employment, and American Express was seeking at that time a restitution of $27,882.49. I would also point out the fact that based on information that I've gleaned, that he accepted, I believe, a plea agreement, and the plea agreement would have been presumptive 2.5 years, the minimum would have been 1.5 years, the maximum would have been 3 years. I would at this time, sir, what that I stated that might be incorrect or that you would like to elaborate on at this time, sir?
I believe everything was correct. There was some dispute as to what the final total was, but I obviously accepted the amount that they asked me to pay back.
Okay, sir. And speaking of that, have you made any payments and restitution at all as of this moment, sir?
Oh, yeah. It was paid off several years ago.
So it's all been paid off. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, I mean, if you could just kind of walk me through this, and the reason I ask this, I want to commend you for spending 10 years in the U.S. Navy, serving this great nation of ours. We're just proud of that. But you committed these offenses after you had served your 10 years in the Navy. So how did you get involved with these offenses, sir, using the American Express card from the place that you had been employed at before you were terminated or before you left that employment? Well, how did you get involved in that, sir?
No matter what I said, it's going to ring hollow. There's absolutely no excuse for what I did. I had cancer at the time, and I was laid off with no notice, and I was bitter and committed a stupid act. I thought that they owed me, which was obviously untrue, and I rationalized that was the acceptable reason to use it, which there is no excuse for that. So that's why, but like I said, that doesn't excuse what I did. I take full responsibility and more noticeable every day.
Okay, sir. I should have, forgive me up front, I should have introduced the board members to you. I did not. So now let me just pause for a moment and introduce you to, there are four board members participating in your hearing this morning, and they are the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Louis Kawanis, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is C.T. Wright. I am board chair, and I'm also serving as your panel chair at this time. Okay, I just wanted to let you know, since you cannot see us, who's sitting on this panel today and who will make the determination. So you were honorably discharged from the Navy, am I correct, sir?
Yes, indeed.
And at what point did you, when you diagnosed with the cancer, was that after the Navy and once you were employed there in credit card?
Yes, sir. It was while I was working for Pepper.
Okay. And I think there you recognize the fact, I believe you just stated it a little different than I'm going to state it now, that you recognize the fact that you should not have used the company credit card. And, aside from your illness and you felt that they owed you something, Why did you actually use it, sir, for such a large amount of money according to this? And I'm not saying that these numbers are correct, but it seemed to me that based on what I gleaned, you know, Target, some $30,000, and American Express, some $27,000. I'm not saying these numbers are correct, but whatever these numbers are, why didn't you find it necessary to use those, to use somebody else's credit card or another company's credit card, sir?
Like I said, there's no excuse. I did it for financial gain because I didn't have any clients, and once again, it's simply wrong. It was the wrong thing to do. There's absolutely no excuse.
Now, sir, we cannot see you today, but just listening to your voice and listening can be deceptive, and I recognize that. It sounds as if you are quite healthy. Therefore, have you recovered from the cancer situation that you had at the time of the offense, sir?
I have.
Okay, well, we're glad to hear that. We are glad that that has worked out for you, sir.
Thank you.
And I do take note that you do have, you know, two degrees, your bachelor's degree from Cal State, as well as your master's degree from Chapman University, which is a great university there in California, for those who are from California. Some people in Arizona may have never heard of it, but it is a great, outstanding university. With those degrees and all of that, sir, I'm just asking the same question again. Why would you risk all of that and use this card, sir? It's just, I mean, you had a great career, you had a career in the Navy. Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
I was once with considerable medical expenses afterwards, and like I said, I tried to justify using it to buy things and settle them and pay for my expenses, which at the end of the day, there's no rational reason to do that. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay. Well, I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit before going to my distinguished colleagues. Now, you had that great record. Okay, so now this took place, and since then, I guess just last year, you were granted your civil rights, including the right to possess firearms. So why do you feel it's important for you to ask the governor to grant you a pardon at this time, sir?
Well, I've never done anything like this before. Like I said, it doesn't excuse it. I will never again. And I'm unable at this time to find the type of employment that I'm used to having in terms of, you know, financial, and I have no insurance, but I'd like to continue to put money forth for my son to go to college. He just turned 16, and right now I'm making a fraction of what I used to make, so I can't pass, get a job that requires a background check. No reputable company is not going to hire me with a felony record.
As you know, or maybe you don't know, sir, even if this board made a recommendation to the governor and the governor honored its recommendation, you know, this is always, this felony will always be on your record. In the state of Arizona, your records will not be expunged. It will be there forever and ever. Yeah, you would show, you that would be a note showing, you know, that you have been granted a pardon, and you, I guess you'll have a certificate showing that you've been granted. But anyone in the future who would check your records, they would see that you had this felony. And that's why I'm raising the question, why is this so important to you? In as much as you have your civil rights, I'm assuming that includes voting rights, and I take particular note that it includes possession of firearms, and I'm just trying to see why is this just so important to you at this particular time, sir?
Well, I spoke to several potential employers, and they had indicated after discussing this that if I did have the pardon on my record, they would be more inclined to hire me.
Let me just make one other comment and end it with a question, then I go to other board members. And I'm speaking only as one board member. Each board member is independent of each other, and each of us have a different background. When the governor appointed us, we all are different, and we think different, and we vote different. So, from time to time. But I guess my what I'm trying to get to at this point is you've gone through this process. You have your degrees. You came out of the Navy after 10, what I believe to be successful years. And now you want this board to make a recommendation to the governor to grant you a pardon. And I guess my question is, in view of the offense itself, if you were sitting where we're sitting today, where we as board members are sitting today, and we were coming before you, what would you tell the governor? What would you, better yet, what would you want this board to tell the governor to justify him granting you a pardon at this time, sir? What could you say to the governor, sir?
That prior to the one act, I had an exemplary record of who I think I still am, a successful, productive human being, and an extremely remorseful for the heinous act that I committed. Where I was just selfish thoughts and no rational thought, and I obviously have, as I said, been productive since then and will continue to, and I would like to be able to further enhance my career, and at the moment it is just a little difficult. I think it would give me some more opportunity to at least have the option of just furthering my employment.
It seems to me, you know, and I don't know, you know, because we all have titles, you know, they give everybody titles these days, and sometimes they're important, sometimes they don't mean a thing, but you have a title, you're an operations manager, that sounds like an important title to me, and then you was a sale manager, that sounds like important, so you already have some important titles, don't you, sir? I mean, employment-wise, you already, you know, I mean, being an operations, what is that, operations manager? That sounds important to me. If you walked up to me and say, oh, I'm an operation manager, here's my card, that sounds like you already doing quite well. Am I incorrect? What's going on? And I can't speak of your, what you're paid, your salary. And I don't want to get into your salary, but I can't speak of that title itself. It sounds as if you're a successful manager, sir. Senior manager.
I've had several bouts with cancer since then, and I have no insurance. I'm deeply, because I can't afford it through the marketplace, and I'm deeply concerned that if something were to happen again, like it would bankrupt me without insurance. And I've dealt with insurance with bills for that in the past, and neither source of funds that I have currently provides insurance. And there's somewhat of a ceiling in terms of my income. And that also limits me in terms of being able to purchase outside insurance.
Okay, sir.
And I need to have insurance for myself and my son, and I can't put the son on the VA insurance, so I have to, I have really minimal insurance right now.
Okay, sir. Well, at this time, I'm going to give other board members an opportunity to ask any questions that they may have for you, and I'm going to start with the Honorable Mr. Louis Kawanis.
Thank you, Honorable Board Chairman. Mr. Barthold, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Just a couple of follow-up questions. You were in the Navy for 10 years, is that correct?
Yes.
What were your duties in the Navy?
Operations specialist.
Were you an enlisted or an officer?
Enlisted.
And did you receive your master's degree when you were inside the Navy?
No.
When did you go to Chapman?
Started in 1991. I was in the reserve.
Okay.
And active duty.
What type of cancer have you been struggling with, sir?
Melanoma.
Melanoma?
Melanoma.
I'm sorry, are you saying that with an M as in Mike?
Yes, oh, melanoma.
Melanoma, pardon me. It's
skin cancer.
Yes, no, I know what it is. It was hard to hear the pronunciation through the...
Okay. Sorry.
No, it's not you, it's the speaker system. And my last question is, how old were you when you were involved in the crime in question?
I guess 48, 47.
Well, again, I do thank you for your service. And I'm sorry, did you serve part of that time active duty, or was it all reserves?
No, active duty and reserve.
Right. Okay, thank you, sir. No further questions.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kawanis. Further questions by board members? The Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bartles, where are you today? Why are you on the telephone?
Thank you, pardon?
Where are you today? Are you in Arizona?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. All right. Where in Arizona?
At Scottsdale.
Scottsdale, okay. All right. And what kind of work are you interested in doing?
The sales manager position. I've had several opportunities, but I just, like I said, it was the background check.
Okay, so this is specifically holding you back from further advancement as sales manager.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you so very much, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Honorable Mr. Neal, any questions, sir?
No, sir.
Okay, well, thank you so very much. And once again, to the best of my knowledge, we have no supporters in the room or on the phone. So at this time, sir, we're going to come back to you unless board members have some further questions, which I don't see any at this time. This is your hearing, sir. Therefore, we want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination. So anything else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself, sir?
Okay, I just want to thank you very much for your time. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you sitting into this. And I just would appreciate your recommendation, because like I said, it would give me the opportunity for it. And like I said, I'm deeply remorseful for what I did. I make no excuses for it. As I said, I'm an upstanding citizen prior to and after, and I want to continue. And that's it. Well, once again, just thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, sir. At this time, we're going to ask that you remain quiet as the board goes into discussion. It may sound as if we're talking to you, but we're not. The four of us are just talking to each other, and based upon the open meeting laws of the state of Arizona, this will be the first time that the panel members will have had an opportunity to discuss your case. Following this discussion, the board will make a decision publicly, because everything we do must be done publicly as part of the open meeting laws of the state of Arizona. We're going to ask you to remain quiet, and following this discussion, the board will come back with its make its decision by way of vote. So at this time, board members, we are in discussion. Any board member wish to lead off the discussion? Seeing no board member wishing to lead off the discussion, I'll just make a few comments, and then we will. And let me just say, Mr. Bartles, that I'm only speaking for myself. Each board member speaks for his or herself, and we do not speak for each other. Okay, this is a very interesting case. The gentleman who spent 10 years in the Navy, whether we're active or reserve, but 10 years with the Navy, who received two degrees, university degrees, Cal State in California, bachelor's, and his master's at Chaplin University, and who had seemed to me up to that point had an exemplary lifestyle. He was living quite well, apparently, and then he had been employed by, I believe, this pet store, and then he was his employment ended there. He had the company credit card, and although he was no longer employed, he continued to use that credit card, that American Express credit card. And he, for not just small amounts, maybe small amounts to some business people, but to me, major amounts, $30,000 and $27,000, so forth, major amount. And of course, this is why he ended up in the criminal justice system and had gone before the court system. He did receive, from my perspective, this was not an excessive sentence, and I know that's not the bar that we're looking at as an excessive sentence, but this was not an excessive sentence in as much as, you know, for the class 4 felony, and as well as sentenced to 2 years for probation and 6 months incarcerated, he could have received a minimum of 1.5 years incarceration. He only received 6 months, and of course, and his super, and his probation was all. Both of these were eliminated, discharged. Therefore, he did not have to serve the full term. He also has already received last year, November of last year, November 27 of last year, his civil rights were restored, and improving possession of guns, voting rights, and so forth. I always look for a higher standard or a higher bar when we're looking at sending a recommendation to the governor for a pardon, in this case a pardon. I do not see that higher standard, but perhaps some of my other colleagues, distinguished colleagues, outstanding colleagues, might see it different than I do. Therefore, at this point, I'm going to yield to other distinguished members of this illustrious board who wishes to speak next. Okay, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. I appreciate very much Mr. Barkholz's military service and his education. I'm very sympathetic to the illness and continuing illness and the potential to not have health care. It's kind of a scary thing these days. However, I'm with you, Dr. Wright. I don't see anything truly exceptional about this, and the fact that Mr. Barkholz is in Scottsdale and didn't come here to this hearing, I just find that unusual. So, thank you, sir.
Thank you so very much. Honorable Mr. Kawanis, anything you want to add, sir?
I don't have much more to offer. Again, I do appreciate his service to our country, and I think it's outstanding that he achieved a bachelor's degree and his master's, but I think that he achieved these accomplishments well before the crime that he was convicted for, and I'm just not finding the totality of this case such that it rises to the level of a pardon. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Honorable Mr. Neal?
I agree.
Okay, thank you. Therefore, unless there's further discussion by board members, I'm going to offer a motion. We see where it goes, and we go from there. My motion is going to be very simple, not to recommend to the governor, is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by Mr. Kawanis, agreed by Ms. Rittenhouse and Mr. Neal. Sir, the board will not be making a recommendation to the governor. Thank you so much for your participation. Good luck, and we wish you the best, and we hope that your health will improve and that you will find some way to get some insurance with your health situation. Your hearing is over, sir, and thanks so much for your participation.
Thanks, have a good evening.
And you too. Thank you, sir.